Let me preview the name Graz, G-R-A-Z, and let's begin Chapter 8. Ready? My mom and dad emigrated from a small village near Graz, the home of Arnold Schwarzenegger. We didn't tell anyone, not even my parents, that we were planning to go there. We thought we would stay for only a few days because we didn't want to disrupt their daily routine or lifestyle. How naive was that? We had two addresses, and we decided to first visit one of my cousins on Dad's side. When we introduced ourselves, it was pandemonium. It seemed as if everyone was bouncing off the walls like ping-pong balls. We had never written to or talked with each other before, but within minutes we were dear friends. It didn't take long for word to get around to not only the relatives on my dad's side, but mom's side as well. Rudy, my cousin, who was a master electrician, took holidays and drew up a schedule so that we could meet and spend time with everyone and stay in their homes. That itinerary included special day trips to castles and churches and Vienna and whatever else you could imagine that Austria had to offer. And that schedule consumed the rest of our holiday. We were having so much fun that instead of visiting additional countries, we stayed in Austria with a variety of relatives for the remaining 3 weeks. Suppers and gatherings at local Gasthauses with lots of beer and music was a highlight. Instead of driving back to Paris to resell our car, we gave it to Rudy's 15-year-old son and caught a plane from Graz to London in time to make our return flight to Canada. That memorable trip paved the way for return visitations as well as serving as hosts here for holidayers from Austria. Back to reality in Edmonton and still talking about 1972, I now have a nice office and the new law course that opened 2 days after we got married. In fact, I often confuse that official opening date with our wedding anniversary. That's the story I'm sticking with anyway. I joined a team of 33 Supreme Court reporters, the vast majority of whom were male pen writers. There was a handful of machine writers that were tutored privately, as mentioned before, and one that trained in Bryan College of Court Reporting in Los Angeles. We worked together as a partnership, a bigger version of provincial court. The work included all the criminal and civil trials, examinations for discovery, now called questionings, and board hearings, which were typically daily copy. I remember the learning curve on that vocabulary being quite challenging. There were no freelance reporting firms in this era, and I would describe the workload as extremely heavy. At any given time, each reporter probably had a backlog of around 5,000 pages because we were writing so often with little time for transcript production. Counsel had a 6-month wait for transcripts of discoveries because criminal trial appeal transcripts were to be given priority. The pool of reporters from provincial court had dried up. In fact, that was probably the start of using recordings and transcriptionists in provincial court and out of town because there simply were no more student reporters to draw from. Just thinking about it, I might have been one of the last ones to come through the apprenticeship system. The staff shortage and workload was not sustainable. This led to a Los Angeles Bryan College-trained reporter, Gary Moore, having the foresight and wherewithal to develop the court reporting program at NAIT. I remember that a few of his first grads, upon completing their practical training, came directly to Supreme Court to work. Some of my peers felt these juniors hadn't paid their dues and lacked experience and therefore shouldn't automatically be allowed to join the partnership. But these grads proved to be very successful. A few more years passed, and I think around 1976 or 77, Gary left NAIT as program head and started the first freelance firm in Edmonton. Gabe Boucher, also a Bryan College graduate, started a firm in Calgary at about the same time. This was an era when there was considerable tension between the new freelance firms and the official reporters because the government ultimately mandated that all pretrial civil proceedings as well as board hearings be covered by private firms. shortly before that edict, I remember working on a big energy resources conservation board hearing in Cold Lake that was covered by a team of three government reporters and three typists on a daily copy basis for several weeks. There were five members on the board and three council represented the applicant. There literally were rows of tables in the community hall where numerous interveners and their council sat to oppose the application by ESSA Resources to inject steam into the well sites to soften the bitumen and create pressure to enhance pumping. With the exceptionally large number of multiple orders, we were initially bringing into the partnership $18 a page. You can understand why we didn't want to lose the hearing work.